Father, we just thank you right now for the anointing that's already here. We thank you for your grace and mercy, Father, that you allowed us to come here this morning to hear your word. We invite your Holy Spirit into this session to fill this room. We yield ourselves to you, Father. We ask that you would have your way. And we just give you all the honor and glory for what you're going to do here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about the gross darkness. We're going to talk about some current events, things that are going on, and what God has been saying about this through his prophets here recently, but also in the Bible. So the gross darkness. God has come to judge America, and it is irreversible. As intercessors called to pray, we can mitigate some of what is to come. But what has been declared for years by God is set in stone. While much devastation will take place, God will care for his chosen ones who follow him. We are going to go over some of the prophecies given to Pastor Barbara Lynch and myself during this teaching. We are also going to link them together with what is going on in America and show that we are living in the end times. God told Pastor Barbara before that the days of Ananias and Sapphira are here. He also reminded me a couple days ago that those days are here. So the days of Ananias and Sapphira. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, it says, "But a man named Ananias, his wife Sapphira, conniving in this with him, sold a piece of land, secretly kept part of the price for himself, and then brought the rest to the apostles and made an offering of it. Peter said, 'Ananias, how did Satan get you to lie to the Holy Spirit and secretly keep back part of the price of the field? Before you sold it, it was all yours, and after you sold it, the money was yours to do with as you wished. So what got into you to pull a trick like this? You didn't lie to men, but to God.' Ananias, when he heard those words, fell down dead. That put the fear of God into everyone who heard it. The younger men went right to work and wrapped him up, and then carried him out and buried him. Not more than 3 hours later, his wife, knowing nothing of what had happened, came in. Peter said, 'Tell me, were you given this price for your field?' 'Yes,' she said, 'that price.' Peter responded, 'What's going on here? Did you connive to conspire against the spirit of the master? The men who buried your husband are at the door, and you're next.' No sooner were the words out of his mouth than she also fell down dead. When the young men returned, they found her body. They carried her out and buried her beside her husband. By this time, the whole church, and in fact, everyone who heard of these things, had a healthy respect for God. They knew God was not to be trifled with." The Message version. This is basically saying we can't be playing games in church. We are not supposed to be lying to the Holy Spirit, which is in other people. So us lying to other people is no different than lying to the Holy Spirit that's in them, especially if they're in authority over us. God showed me a vision of people talking in his sanctuary about worldly things, talking about other people, discussing their trials and tribulations as it affected them negatively, and how the enemy is working in people around about them. Much of it was considered gossip and spoken in a time when they had a choice to do it elsewhere. God said to me, 'Tell me, son, is my sanctuary not my dwelling place? Is it not the Holy of Holies? Is this not my house and my room where I dwell among my people?' I told God that it surely is his place to dwell and to do with it what he desires. Then he showed me that the words and overflow of the hearts coming out of the people's mouths were like black smoke that filled his sanctuary, and a black sticky tar coated the walls and everything in the place. God does not dwell in the midst of evil and sin taking place in his sanctuary. He showed me that his anointing leaves when such things begin to occur. He then spoke to me and said, by what anointing do they believe they operate under? Surely it is not mine. Yet the people proclaim how wonderful the place is, how it is saturated with my anointing so strongly. Tell me, son of man, by which anointing do they walk under? While I had no answer ready for God, I was shown that there are great principalities of evil in the second heavens that operate in the false signs and miracles of Satan. This principality already has great sway over many people and can easily provide a strong anointing that comes not from God but from the enemy. It is the great deception of the end times that has already grasped many people and begins to take them off course and have them under strong delusion. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, for this reason God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. Beware of anyone who claims to walk under the anointing of God and perform many great signs, wonders, and miracles. Do they perform these things in the body of Christ in full view of everyone? Or do they perform these theatrics in secret, only in small groups of like-minded people? By their fruit you shall know them. God is trying to tell us what to watch out for, and he's trying to tell us how to avoid these plagues of evil. He's trying to protect his sheep by telling us to draw closer to him, but we are still running to our friends, the local prophet, the telephone, everything but God. This causes us to be susceptible to falling under the sway of the false prophets and doctrine of man. We must be so close to God in our own walks with him that we know when he sends us a true prophet and to trust the words they speak are truly thus saith the Lord. The reason why we do this is because we do not walk by faith in the measure we are supposed to, and we do not fully trust God to take care of every need that we have. If we are still at this level right now, we will not prosper in the days that lie ahead, and many might not even survive it. There is no fear of God in the body of Christ. God spoke to me in this previous dialogue and said, if I manifested myself to them, they would be consumed by my fire. In other words, they would die. The days of Ananias and Sapphira are here. Now going back to the gross darkness, not only has God been prophesying this through his prophets in recent times, but it is also written in the Word of God. Let's take a look at the signs of the end times. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, but there were also lying prophets among the people then, just as there will be lying religious teachers among you. They'll smuggle in destructive divisions, pitting you against each other, biting the hand of the one who gave them a chance to have their lives back. They've put themselves on a fast downhill slide to destruction, but not before they recruit a crowd of mixed-up followers who can't tell right from wrong. They give the way of truth a bad name. They're only out for themselves. They'll say anything, anything that sounds good to exploit you. They won't, of course, get by with it. They'll come to a bad end, for God has never just stood by and let that kind of thing go on. Message version. False teachers have arisen and are money hungry. They are smooth talkers, have many followers, and they slur the Christian faith, as is spoken in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. You could write that down and read that later when you get home. There is a cold religious system in place, denying God's power and giving credit to themselves. False teachers and leaders that appear godly, but in fact serve their own interests and put on another face altogether when not behind the pulpit. Lying teachers and preachers will come forward and deceive many. People will forsake the Ten Commandments as a moral code and commit every kind of ungodly abomination. We'll see people who have no stomach for sound teaching, and they'll listen to whoever fulfills their desires. And the scriptures that talk about that are Matthew 24, 11 through 12, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. We must check every fruit sent our way against the word of God. I'm glad that this church is a true church with true prophets, because we learn everything here, how to protect ourselves against everything of the false teachers and lying prophets and all the other signs of the end times. Now let's go into a prophecy by Pastor Barbara from October 2003. God says, "This is not the time to be running to and fro, looking for advice from others. This is the time to stay focused upon my face and to sit at my feet, knowing that I have all that you have need of, and that I will supply all that you need to know and understand at this given time in your walk with me. I am a faithful and a just God, and I am taking care of my peoples that are called by my name. Many false witnesses are running to and fro, and speaking, thus saith the Lord, and they have not been sent by me, but they are on their own timetables, and they have their own agendas, and all will soon see and know that I am a true and loving Father that only wants what is best for his children. Time is running out for my people. They must come into the inner circle of my arms, and they must sit at my feet for instruction, or they will be swept away by the false and will never understand the true. Many false prophets have arisen upon the scene, and they will shake the nations with what is not of me, saith the Lord. Discernment is much needed at this given time, and great wisdom is demanded of my peoples." So let's pause for a second. There God is saying back in 2003, these false prophets have already come on the scene, and God is requiring of us much discernment and great wisdom from us to be able to tell the true from the false. God continues, "Job knew my voice, but there were times when he wondered just exactly what was going on around about him. Come under the protection of my holy mountain, and you shall not be deceived, nor will you be led astray with every wind and doctrine. My people, truth must be sent forth, and only my prophets can send the truth forth. My prophets, hear what I am saying at this given hour, and understand the complete importance of what I am saying. I am requiring a time of fasting and prayer from each of my prophets at this given time. It is as you fast and pray that you will hear the true voice of the Father and have discernment for this end time display of my hands at work in this unholy nation. Rejoice before me and come bearing gifts of fasting and prayer and see what I will reveal unto your very hearts and eyes. For great visions will I give unto my peoples and great understanding of my holy word." So God is requiring us to fast and pray to obtain the wisdom and discernment that he wants to give us so we know what's getting ready to happen. God continues, "Spots. Do not allow any spots nor blemishes to appear upon your most holy garments, but come before me rejoicing, knowing that I am about to pour out the very core of my heart to my prophets, and they will know all things pertaining to my end time word. The glow of my holy wisdom will be evident upon my peoples, and all will know that you have set at my feet as Moses did. Have I not been saying that you would see me face to face? Have I not said that as I was for Moses, so I will be for you? I am becoming the great I am to all those that will pay the price with fasting and prayer. Your heart will reveal yourself to you. Pay no attention to the voices of discord around about you, but stay focused upon my voice and my direction at this given time. Holiness shall prevail in my chosen vessels at this given time. Knowing what is ahead will be apparent to all that hear my servants' voices. Seek not the wisdom of this world, but stay focused on the wisdom from above, for it is from above that all wisdom will fall. What is it that you are looking for? That is the question I am sending forth for all to hear at this given hour. Is it a reed shaken by the wind, or is it the truth that will come forth from my holy servants? That's a reference to Matthew chapter 11, verse 7. This is the day and this is the hour of holy redemption in the land, and I am sending forth the harvesters at this given time. Many will find themselves on the road, and many will find themselves with a change of authority and position. Be still and know that I am God, and be still and hear the still small voice that will lead, guide, and direct at this given time in my kingdom. For I am giving kingdom authority to my chosen vessels, and they shall see truth restored to the house of the Lord. Truth shall prevail, and many souls will be brought into the kingdom. For this is the day of the harvest of lost and dying souls. The harvest truly is ripe unto salvation, and many have been waiting for this day and this hour. Seek not your own ways, but continue to seek my ways, saith the Lord. For I am about to do a great and mighty works upon this land, and all will soon see that I am in control of the heavens and the earth. The importance of fasting and praying during these end times is to have your eyes fully open to see what is coming ahead. It is a tool to be used to prepare. Now, going into a little bit into fasting and praying, God has been laying on my heart to fast for some time, but I never yielded to it completely. When I did fast, it was half-hearted, and I tried to do it my way. Finally, I reached a point where my spirit man, was telling me something critically important is getting ready to happen, and I must yield to God. When I committed to God that I would fast for him, he spoke to me and told me to fast 40 days with no food. Several weeks ago, God told me that Lucifer himself had come after me, and I knew in my spirit that this fast was the most important task God has given me yet. I remembered how Satan came after Jesus directly in the desert for 40 days and nights. I felt as though this was my desert wilderness experience to be challenged by the enemy himself, all under God's sovereign control. During this time, I would be tested and tried, and I was. But through it all, God told me he would give me deep and great revelation, and he did. So what I'm saying is, at this point in time, I did not know about this word from 2003. When I went back and read it, I realized that what God was doing with me today was already prophesied back in 2003. So as we read in the word that God gave Pastor Barbara, fasting and praying is one of the greatest weapons you can use in spiritual warfare. And it is also required of us in these end times to be able to see clearly what is coming so that we can survive. In Mark chapter 9, verses 28 and 29, it says, "And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately," they're asking Jesus, "why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." The disciples were attempting to cast a demon out of a boy. The demon would not leave, and they became discouraged. These were people who walked with Jesus personally, saw the miracles, and believed. These disciples were taught under the Master's wing. The disciples used every weapon and tool they had access to up until this point in time. Jesus showed them that this demon was something stronger than they had encountered before. This was a perfect opportunity for Jesus to show them the ultimate weapon of prayer and fasting. Now, going back to the gross darkness, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, "They conveniently forget that long ago all the galaxies and this very planet were brought into existence. God is poised, ready to speak his word again, ready to give the signal for the judgment and destruction of the desecrating skeptics," the Message version. People will deny the fact that God once flooded the earth in Noah's time. conveniently forgetting facts from the Bible. Case in point, Miley Cyrus. Her comments on people who believe Noah's Ark is real, that's expletive insane. She added, "We've outgrown that fairy tale, like we've outgrown expletive Santa and the Tooth Fairy." Now, this is a very popular worldly icon that's telling everybody that people who believe in Noah's Ark are silly-minded. And that word spreads to a lot of people out there in the world, and a lot of people pick that up and soak it right in. It's sad. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, the Spirit makes it clear that as time goes on, some are going to give up on the faith and chase after demonic illusions put forth by professional liars. These liars have lied so well and for so long that they've lost their capacity for truth. They will tell you not to get married. They'll tell you not to eat this or that food, perfectly good food God created to be eaten heartily and with thanksgiving by believers who know better. Message version. There's a lot of cults out there and all kinds of false doctrine that's going to tell you you can't do this or you have to do that, and it's completely ungodly. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are believing that, and that's their interpretation of God, and that's wrong. It's our job to minister truth by the Holy Spirit and allow Him to break those bondages that those people are in. So here's a prophecy from back in June 16th, 2012. And this is talking about America. God says, "Judgment is coming. Babylon has impregnated this once great nation, and her ways have prevailed and stood against my will. My patience has been exhausted, and sin runs rampant throughout her veins. The corruption of sin spreads like a disease and infests every organ. In years past, these vital parts have been shutting down one by one. I have called and called and pleaded with my beloved America to turn from her ways, but alas, they chose sin over me. The judgment has been set. I will plunder her riches, destroy her currencies. I will revoke all her status throughout the world. All of the world will see her naked and shamed, her people lost and confused and destroying one another. I shall not extend my hand to relieve her sufferings. This is the judgment she was warned of. Now she lay in a bed of fire. I will destroy and spoil all her food stores. Upon the shelves, the people stored goods, believing to cover themselves from shame in secret. But they shall even see their food stores spoiled supernaturally. All will know this is my judgment. A measure of wheat for a penny and 3 measures of barley for a penny. This means famine conditions. I will send disasters upon disasters across her land. Fires, earthquakes, floods, volcanic ash shall blot out her skies, and I will spoil vegetation with droughts. The very earth will open up beneath the feet of the wicked, and they shall be swallowed into the abyss. I am angry, and my anger cannot be put into words, my son. Depraved acts of sin and selfishness have plagued this land for far too long. They have rejected me and my son, and they have meddled in Satan's territory too long. Now they will share his judgment. They have allowed homosexuality to infest the lives of my people and their children. They teach false doctrines of peace and comfort, saying, I am too good or too forgiving to condemn. There will be absolutely no mistake about my wrath. I come with fire in my eyes and total destruction without mercy. Watch, little one, as this nation is brought down around you. No man or power, no principality or dominion can stand against me, for I am the Most High God." Then another prophecy by Pastor Barbara Lynch from November 12, 2004. "It is time to get the house in order. It is time that everything unclean is eliminated, for the evil in this world is increasing, and the evil will overtake the good in some areas. There is much being said about 9/11 and how terrible it was, but what is coming upon America is far outreaching than 9/11. Many will truly run to and fro, and many will take their lives at this given time. Many will not be able to distinguish the good from the evil, for their minds will have been darkened by the hardening of their hearts. There will be much tribulation at this given time. Woe upon woe will increase across this great America. Yes, some have repented, and that is good, but so many more have not, and that is what has brought this judgment upon my chosen land, America. I had set America apart as a sign and a wonder of my great love for my people, but now it is being set apart to demonstrate my great wrath for a people that would not turn to the living Father, but chose to serve their own Baals. America will no longer be America as you all have known her. She will be distorted on all sides, and she will lack in every area. But the bright side is, this move of mine will bring a landslide salvation to America. Sodom and Gomorrah have nothing on America. She has reached down into the bowels of hell and pulled every abomination to the surface, and she has played the harlot over and over again. Now I will have my say-so. The saints that have gone before are crying out for revenge on this perverted land, and I am answering their cries. When will they repent? You just watch, saith the Father, you just watch. Both of these prophecies give great warning and detail of what is to come of America. We can see why, when just this week, June 26, 2015, same-sex marriage is legal across the entire nation of America. Here's another prophecy by Pastor Barbara Lynch from November 23, 2004. She said, I was dressing this morning and started to cry uncontrollably. I came into the computer room and started crying out to God, and this is what I heard. God says, my heart weeps for my house, for my house will not hear my pleas for repentance. My sorrow goes so deep, my heart breaks at every turn. Why, children? Why won't you turn to me with your whole heart? Why does the world have such a pull upon you and your families? I have pondered over this for ages, and I have only one answer. The world holds more for your heart than I do, so you think. The wages of war are so costly, but the wars must come now, for my people would not repent and turn from their wicked, evil ways. These wars will cost you more than you care to pay. There will be great wailing and gnashing of teeth heard on the streets, for the soon coming despair will outweigh anything that the world has ever experienced. Many will bemoan the very day they were born. The homosexual community will be destroyed. I will not be mocked. I am not a bastard. I am the true Father of all creation. Why do you, church, think the enemy created? Why do you think he is in control? You will soon see who is in control. And for some it will be too late. For others, they will finally see that all I have spoken is coming to pass, and they will fall upon their faces in total worship of a loving and caring Father. Hold tight to what you have in me, church. Hold tight, for it will be worth it all in the very end. Much destruction on all sides. Many will be running to and fro, and many will be seeking places of refuge, but will be unable to find any. Total disaster awaits this world as you see it. I am not a God of destruction, but I do destroy when necessary. As you read my word, you will see destruction after destruction and devastation on all sides. This was because my people refused to follow my voice. I sent my son so his blood would be an atonement for sins, but even that has been trampled underfoot. I am left with no alternative but to bring destruction so I can rebuild my world once again. Let's pause for a second here. God doesn't desire to destroy, but if he has to, he will. And it's as simple as just listening to God, doing what he's been asking us to do. If we do that, we can avoid all of this mess. But God's crying. He's weeping. Why won't my people listen to me? Why won't they do the simple thing that I've already equipped them to do? So continuing, God says, woe upon woe, sorrow on all sides, but I will be with my remnant in all this. You who have chosen me in the years past have chosen a good thing. All those who chose the things of the world will reap what they have sown. Go, church, and preach my gospel to a lost and dying world. For my son will soon return for a glorious church, one without spot nor wrinkle. I ask you to abide under the shadow of the Almighty until my son's soon return. Now, we just learned about Psalm 91 and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty by Pastor Barbara. So that's God again telling us, you need to be here in this place at this given time to receive knowledge from me and stay protected under my wing as all this other stuff starts to unfold. So God told us back in 2004 to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He also told us this again recently and taught us all about it in Psalm 91 through Pastor Barbara and how to stay in the secret place of the Most High. It is no longer a choice to come to this place. It is a necessity for survival. Today, the world is full of violence and sexual immorality. You only need to turn on the TV and you will see violence, fornication, and homosexuality everywhere. Take, for example, the nation's capital, putting on a colorful display of its approval of homosexuality. As we said earlier, June 26th, they passed a federal law. Every single state in this country must now accept same-sex marriages. And they celebrated with this. It's an abomination. They're holding up sin on a pedestal saying, look what we did. What are we told in Jude chapter 1, verse 7? We are told that what God did to Sodom was set forth as an example to us today. And what did God do to the people of Sodom? He destroyed them with fire because of their wickedness, which included homosexuality.
Now we're going to talk about the recent events. In these present days, we are experiencing a multitude of news headlines and newscasts with the most shocking and degrading subject matter and material. This is no coincidence and has a great deal to do with the gross darkness that is already here and is increasing across the nation and the world. Let's take a look at just a few things we've had to deal with recently that is talked about most often. There's molestation and rape of teachers and students, preachers and priests with their sheep, abuse by cops, children being killed in schools, churches burnt down, and things that symbolize Christ and Christianity being removed. Now, between what's going on now while my children are in school did not happen when I was in school. So all this has progressed in a matter of 15 to 19 years, and it got worse very fast. In fact, the past 5 years, it seems like the next year is a lot worse than the year before. Then now you have ISIS, which is persecuting the Christians. People who are able to make decision on ending their lives. People who are able to abort children just because they don't want them, and now they have pills to take care of that. They don't have to wait to have a doctor to take care of it. They can actually get a hold of pills and take care of it. Even children don't have to let their parents know that they're pregnant. They can just go take a pill, and you just don't know.
At 12 years old,
they can do that. 12 years old and up. The weather is causing different and severe issues all across America. You have California, who is having drought issues. You have Texas, who is having flooding issues. Florida, who is having land shifting issues, and the list goes on. And as you have seen and will continue to see, God has been warning us through his true prophets, but are we really paying attention? If you notice the dates on these go back. So God has been preparing us for this time. And he's still continually telling us, you know, what to prepare for each and every day. So that way we can be praying for our loved ones, our children, you know, and those people that just don't know. Matthew 24:7-8 says, "Nation will fight against nation, and ruler fight ruler, over and over. Famines and earthquakes will occur in various places. There is nothing compared to what is coming. There have been many earthquakes in various places in these end times, greater magnitudes and uncommon places, and still more to come that are even greater." 18 years ago, God told Pastor Barbara that there was going to be the earthquake that will take place in the United States. We now see other ministries talking about this, such as Jim Baker, John Shorley,
Efrain Rodriguez,
and David Wilkerson. The latter both, too, said that the greatest earthquake event in history is still to come into the world. Are you really watching for the signs of what is about to take place, or do you think that God is bluffing? Have you sought his face into what he wants you to do and what part you are to play as these things take place? Understand that by staying silent and not doing anything at all, including praying about these situations, is just the same as saying you agree with what's going on. Each and every one of us has a part to play. And if you're not seeking God's face and asking you what part are you to do while all this is taking place and you're not doing it, you're going to be held accountable for what you're not doing.
That's right.
If you look at what God is doing in your life, you will see that through the trials and tribulations and the situation and circumstances you are going through have been training grounds and grooming grounds to prepare you. But if you are not being obedient to all he has told you, you can stand a chance of not making it and being knocked off your feet. You need to really be looking at yourself, wanting to see what God has really been doing in your life. And have you been learning from the lessons, or are you still going down the same roads? Many think that they are ready and they are not. Many in everyday life throws them off balance, off course, and it takes days or even weeks to get back on track. We don't have that kind of time anymore for these things to take place. It has been prophesied several times that there will come a time where these things will not be available. And as Brother Brett reads this prophecy, you're going to see where, you know, God is going to really bring his judgment down on America, and he is going to take things that we take for granted, you know, and we need to know how to survive. And by staying in his shelter, he's going to be able to provide for us like he did for several people in the Bible. He'll make sure we have the food. You know, if he can feed his prophets with manna from heaven, he surely can take care of us. But if we're not staying with him, if we're not hiding in the palm of his hand, if we're not being obedient to what he's saying now, we're not going to be able to do that when all this other is breaking down. And we won't be able to be provided for because we're not trusting him. We're believing everything else that's going on. We may get afraid that God's not going to take care of us and we end up taking the chip. And then that there's the same as, you know, the mark of the beast. You know, you can't be afraid, is my family going to eat or not? You're going to have to totally 100% trust God that he's going to take care of you.
That's right, and right now is the time to get ourselves straightened up. I mean, if it's not too late already, now is the time, right now, today, where we need to be saying, God, if I have a problem, let's get it together. If you're told about yourself, don't get upset. Just say, all right, God, this happened for a reason. You've shown me this. Let's get this under the blood and dealt with, because it is not worth losing out on what God has for you. It's not worth losing out on what God wanted to do with you and how he's going to protect you as these end times unfold, because you'll get caught up in the judgment if you're not right with God. And how many years has he been telling us? Now's the time to get straightened up. He's been calling us to live holy, to be righteous people, and if we're not willing to do that, even 0.1% in us says, no, I don't want to do that, then you're not going to make it. It's as simple as that. So this is a word that God gave us back on May 7th in 2014. The Holy Spirit of God came upon me, and then I heard the Lord speak. God said, Son of man, write what I tell you and give it to the people. I have foretold of this hour in days past. I am coming with great signs, wonders, and miracles on my wings. Yet my heart is heavy, for the fate of my people rests on my heart. Many of my children are dying, and they are choosing the ways of Baal. I have come to bless those who have submitted all to me. Yet I will punish this world for those who have strayed from me. I have given fair grace and many chances to those whom I have wooed. Have I not given enough warnings? Have I not shown enough signs? A wicked and perverse generation asks for a sign which it cannot discern. I have had enough. As I sit on my throne, I am a fair God. I am a just judge. I am righteous and holy in all my ways, and I will not ever contradict my word or my nature. I am not a man that I should lie, and now the echoes of the gavel that was struck long ago shall resonate throughout this world as I come in my wrath to punish this nation. A desolate place shall lay barren in a wasteland. Poverty and illness has stricken her. Ravaging beasts have devoured all its resources. Bandits and thieves shall rule amongst one another in anger and rage. There is no soundness from the sole of her feet to the crown of her head. There is only bruises and welts. Her crown is pride. Still she refuses to repent. Still she believes she stands on the highest mountaintop in all her splendor and glory. But I, the Lord thy God, approach her with my great and mighty sword. She will fall and collapse under the weight of the judgment that comes from my left hand. Her name is America, and I have come to punish her. This is the hour my judgment begins. Look to the west and note of the destruction that I will bring to it. Famines will sweep the west, and droughts will dry up all the land. Severe plagues will come from the northeast, and great fires will spread through the northwest. I will send floods into the southeast regions and great storms all across this land. I will cripple her supplies, and there will be great and many multitudes with no electricity. Who will hear her? Who will aid her? Who shall come to her rescue? But nay, saith the Lord God, I am not finished. Still in her arrogance, she will not yield to me. And so therefore I shall send foreign nations against her to ravage her into the dust. From below the dust she will be silenced. Never again shall her pride rise up before me. From the grave she will cry out, and I will not hear her for a time. All will know that I am God Almighty, for I will be in the midst of my people. My desire is to use my children to save the lost and dying. I have said the harvest is ready and ripe, but there are so few workers. My remnant must go forth now with my blessings in tow and be the lights I have called them to be. My judgment must come. I must punish the sin that has piled itself high up into my very throne room. I must settle accounts with the nations. I have spoken, and it shall come to pass. Look to the sky, for in the northern hemisphere there shall be great peril. The sky will be blotted out with volcanic ash, and the light of the sun will be hidden for a time. This is the time of persecution, and it will only get worse. Be ready and steadfast, my people. Now is the hour. The transition has begun. So in this word God gave us, we can see that he's spelling out this is what's going to happen. But he says, I will be with my chosen people. I will be with people, the key term being my people who have yielded all to me. Those are the people he's going to be with. And he will see them through all this that's getting ready to happen.
All right, now continue with the gross darkness. You have homosexuals, lesbians, and transsexuals that are given many rights. I'm not talking about the rights of the people. I'm talking about they're given sin rights, sin that goes against God's word. Meanwhile, God is taking out of the schools, and all Christianity is being shunned. And why? Because someone doesn't like it? There is so much more going on in the spirit realm that we need to open our eyes and see. And we do this by getting before God's face and really seeking him and finding out where we need to be at this given time. Because the world is willing to accept these things, it has opened the doors to many other things that are taking place now and continuing to open the doors to some of the grossest darkness yet. The enemy does not sit back and watch the things we do for God. He fights tooth and nail trying to destroy what we are doing for God. We should in turn do the same to him. Whether you want to believe it or not, there's a time where bestiality is going to become normal, and so much more is going to come with it. Homosexuality, lesbianism, transgender, etc., has only opened the doors for these things to come out, what has already been happening behind closed doors. There's going to come a time where there will be half human and half animals. At this time, you may wonder how. There is now ways for male and female to become the other gender through hormone medications, therapy, and operations. We actually know of someone who is going through this process. Their sin is getting the support of medical, therapy, and social sectors instead of correcting the sin through Christ and dealing with the spiritual issues. We also have to understand that the pain that's deep down inside of that person isn't being dealt with either. All it's doing is being covered up because of what the society wants to call as normal or is as okay.
You know, this, well, it's one of my family members that's actually going through this transition, and it's shocking to see how this is unfolding exactly. I never imagined or expected there would be this much support for somebody who just decided one day, I don't want to be a female, I want to be a male. And how simple it is to go through a name change process, to have paid for, you know, for you by the government, go to classes to teach you how to act like the opposite sex, to have all this encouragement and support from friends at school, guidance counselors at school, and other state agencies that just say, okay, let's go ahead and, you know, set up operations and even give them hormone pills to even physically change themselves to the opposite sex. So it was just mind-boggling to me that, well, this is where we're at. You know, this is what the nation's doing in the world. You know, if we're doing it, I'm sure some other nations out there is doing it. And it is just a sign of the times. This is, as it was in the days of Noah, here we are again, at, you know, right before the coming of the Son of Man. So it's personal.
We also need to understand that this is leading up to people being able to do the same thing with becoming animals, a deeper sin. Bestiality was taking place in the times of Noah and Lot, and so the end times will be worse. This is also opening the doors where werewolves, vampires, and such evil will come out from behind closed doors into reality. In deliverances, we have already faced multiple animal demons, and they manifested in animal form. And with the holy angels' assistance and God's anointing and wisdom, these people were set free from these spirits that were laying dormant. I ask you this, How many do you think have dormant animal spirits that are waiting for these times to take place? This is something that you really need to see is going on and be praying for the intervention for these people and for the strength of all of us in our future generations that we will face. Ask yourself if you're really preparing yourself for what is coming and what your children and grandchildren are going to face.
You know, if I'm just going to interject for a second, that bestiality was taking place in the days of Noah because some of the pagan beliefs was that people would sit in the temple prostitutes, and they would portray different animals or even bring animals into the temple, and they thought if they had sex with these people who represented gods or goddesses, or if they had sex with these animals, they would obtain the power from the god it represented. So that was their belief behind doing this, is they thought, well, I'll get godlike powers from this particular god if I have intercourse with this animal or this person representing, you know, a deity. So it was mind-boggling.
You also need to ask yourself, are you getting so close to God as he's been saying, so that you can minister to these people, deal with the demons that are behind the sin, and be able to discern who you can help and who you can't, and being able to accept it. There is so much we need to be prepared for that you cannot wait until the last minute to figure it all out. Over and over again, God has warned us, there is no time to waste. The reason is because there is so much that needs to be known, and that we can't handle it all at once. Have you been seeking him diligently and finding him and dwelling in the secret place that he's been telling us we need to be?
And, you know, that goes into, you know, God's been telling us love has to be our foundation. If we're not operating in love, we have absolutely nothing. We're worthless. You know, there's that scripture, I can't recall it right now, but it talks about, you know, if you don't have love, all these things that you do are nothing more than a creaking gate or, you know, a reed blowing in the wind. And the reason why we have to have love as our foundation is so that we can minister to these people who come in. Maybe people come in here just out of pure ignorance. They don't know God. They don't know any better. They've never been taught about God or the Word or Jesus. So when they come in, we're not supposed to judge them when they come in here in the middle of this sin. We're supposed to help them. We're supposed to see through all that. All right, what happened to you at a young age that you probably had no control over that caused all this to come in? What was your family line like? Maybe your whole entire generation's full of all kinds of horrible sin, and it's just been plopped right down on your lap in your mother's womb. We have to be looking. That has to be in the forefront of our minds. I didn't know any of my grandparents. I only found out what their names were a couple years ago. And because I didn't know anything about them, I had no idea that the mess that I was going through was this big old generational train of sin driving me through my life. And that's horrible. So that teaches me other people have the same problem I had. And I can't judge them by what I see in front of my eyes. I have no right to do that. And if I do, I'm wrong, because I should know better. So next is a prophecy by Pastor Barbara Lynch from September 4th in 2005. God says, there are mountains, and then there are mountains. I am calling you forth at this given time to hurtle over the mountaintops and stay securely rooted and grounded in me. I know who I am, but my people do not know who they are, and the enemy comes again and again to steal from my chosen people. When will they learn? How long will it take? For some it will take so long that it will be too late. For others, they are going to wise up quickly, and they will arise out of the ash heap and serve me with all of their hearts. This is the greatest time of decision in the church history. This decision will make or break my church. It is time to arise up out of the ash heap and serve the living God and serve him only, for I will have no other gods before me. I am true and I am faithful, and I fail not my peoples. Look up, peoples, look up, for your redemption doth truly draw nigh. Just as quickly as New Orleans was destroyed, I will devastate this whole earth. Many will be running to and fro. The peoples will be about their normal, everyday lives, and suddenly, out of nowhere, I will appear, and it will all be over. I have spoken this before, and nobody heeded my voice. I am speaking it again. Still, they will not heed my voice. Destruction must come upon this nation, for they are making themselves a nation without a father. They are taking me out of everything, and I am wroth with my peoples. Come and take counsel from me, saith the Father. Come and take counsel from me, and learn the truth of what is happening round about you. You are transgressing my laws daily, and I will not permit it any longer. You have cast me asunder. You have brought me to shame over and over again. Enough is enough, and I am tired of this horseplay that you call church, and I have come to put an end to it. Take not counsel from the ungodly, for they are already lost. Seek counsel from me, for I am your counselor. I and only I have the answers to your questions. Why do you forsake me over and over again? Why not just come to the throne of grace and accept all that my son did for you? Why? That is my question to you tonight. Why?
Here's another prophecy by Pastor Barbara Lynch in June 24th, 2011. It says, the body of Christ is not ready for what is about to hit all across America. The devastation will be so great that it will take everybody by surprise. I've been speaking about this time, but few are listening. They have closed their ears to my words and have opened themselves up for deception. I am going to come in all of my might and my power, and I am going to do a work that will astound all. This is the time of the great harvest spoken of in Joel, and the harvest truly is white unto harvest, but where are those that are ready for the harvest? Tell them I am counting, and I am not holding anything back. I have pulled the plug, so to speak, and things and events will occur so swiftly that heads will reel. My sovereignty will be seen by all. All will know that I am God. Those in the household of faith that would not relent will weep and wail, for they will know that they have missed their day of visitation, and they will know what awaits them on Judgment Day. I am love, and I send forth love, but the time has come to fulfill my word, and fulfill my word I shall. Stay tuned for my voice, church, for I will begin to speak volumes to those who are listening, and in those volumes will be instructions for this end time hour.
Now, the theme in all of these prophetic words, they're blending in with each other because God is saying, come unto me. God is the one who's going to give revelation, wisdom, and discernment. And again, we spoke earlier, everybody, and I do this to myself, we run to the telephone, we run to the neighbor, we run to the local prophet, or we just sit and boohoo. God is saying, come to me. I am your source. God wants to give us this knowledge. Because why? He does not desire that any should perish, but that all should repent unto salvation. That's his heart's desire. The theme here in these words is that he's saying people aren't listening, and people aren't taking him serious. Why? Because like we said before, there's no fear of God in the body of Christ. None. The other issue with that is that people aren't even listening when God says the days of Ananias and Sapphira are here. We might just, you know, if we lie to the pastor, we've lied to the Holy Spirit, we could drop dead in the sanctuary. And where would you go? Where would you go after that? you might not make it to heaven. So we have to get this in our minds. Hey, this is real. This is serious. And, you know, it might even unfortunately take somebody dropping dead, like in the, you know, scripture in the Bible, for anybody to believe, uh-oh, you know, it's really here. But why can't we just take God's word for it first? Why are we not doing that? What's in us or wrong with us that we can't just take what God says as the truth? It would be the first time in history of creation that he would lie, and that's not going to happen. So obviously there's something in us. There's something wrong with us. So we have to find out, God, what is that for us to take him seriously? It's the theme in all these words going back from 2002 to 2014. He's been saying the same thing over and over again.
Now, in the gross darkness, in all of this, there is hope. God has been equipping us, preparing us, instructing us, and guiding us in what to do and what to be ready for. He has promised to take care of his children and to do many great things during this time. You have to be doing your part. You have to be the one who is listening and being obedient to what he is telling you. You need to be asking yourself, where am I at this time? Are you getting prepared, or are you simply ignoring what is going on around you and only focusing on what affects you? As you see in these prophecies, God has been moving and directing us in all things. He has been giving us insight into what is going to take place. We need to yield and become obedient to what he has told us so that we are not taken under. God has promised over and over to take care of those who love him and are serving him and are faithful to him. He has promised that as you come under his wing in the secret place and you keep your focus on him, that you will be able to go through all that is coming. He's also promised us that he is going to move in a great and powerful way to bring in the lost and dying souls. That right there, as long as we can keep our faith up and keep our focus on him, the darkness isn't going to take us under or be able to take our Christianity or Christ or any of that away from us. But it's up to us to do our part in this. God's not just going to say, boom, here you go. He gives you certain guidelines and certain steps to take to be able to do all that.
You know, the other thing, too, is that with this darkness that's unfolding, there's going to be people running around. Where do I get help? How do I get help? And God's going to send those people in the church door. And we're not going to be sitting back all lazy and lackadaisical, you know, thinking that we're going to be a part of this. God's going to remove you. If we're not in unity with each other to figure out, all right, here's what God tells the pastor to do. The pastor is going to tell the leadership what to do, and then the leadership is going to, you know, do everything they're supposed to do for the people coming in. If that's not happening, then you might as if you can't function in that capacity, you might as well walk out the door. Because if you don't, God will remove you from the door. And we have to ask ourselves, God, where am I really at? Do I have the capacity? Never mind what my mind thinks, because that gets me in trouble all the time. Never mind what I think is in my heart, because I can't see everything that's in my heart. So, God, what do you say about my capacity? Where am I at? Am I capable of doing this? If not, prepare a place for me out there, so because I know what you're going to do. So we have to be in unity with what God wants to do. There's a hierarchy, a structure, a chain of command to follow, and we have to yield to that. God's trying to get us to yield to that, because all the souls out there that are going to come in here are more numerous than the few that's in here who's been sitting under the Word of God for years and years and years and have had the chance to get it together. God will take those people that aren't willing out, because these people out here who did not have a chance, they have not sat under the Word of God for years and years and years. Those souls, I don't want this to sound wrong, but those souls are more important than the ones that are in here. They have a greater need, I'll say. So we have to soak that truth into our spirits and let that marinate in us for the rest of the day. And then ask God, where am I at? That's the truth. So if anybody wants ministering to, now you may go ahead and come up to the altar.